Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. As promised, Jeff Cavins here with us this hour. Your calls on the Bible. If you've got Bible questions, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We're just delighted that Jeff's here. He's inspired millions, and I'm not exaggerating. For most people, that would be an exaggeration, but he has inspired millions of people to dive deeper into Scripture, truly live their faith. He's the creator of the Great Adventure Bible Timeline, a groundbreaking approach that helps people, well, to read the Scriptures and to know what they're reading. He's also, I don't want to say the brains behind, because that doesn't sound good for Father Mike Schmitz, but he's one of the creators of the Bible in a Year podcast, which became, at a certain point, the most popular podcast on the planet Earth, and remains a tool that just countless people day after day start and finish reading the Bible in a year with Jeff, and with the work that Jeff has done, and with Father Mike Schmitz as the host. If you'd like to talk Bible, 888-318-7884. Jeff Cavins, thank you very much for being here with us.
Good to be with you. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And now, the Great Adventure Bible Timeline, this was the basis, really, for that got the whole Bible in a year thing going. But is this a work that you are continually improving, or is it a finished type thing? Well, it's once and done.
I think it's finished right now. We might return to it sometime in the future and do some different things with it. And you're right. The whole Bible in a year was taken from the philosophy of reading the Bible with the Great Adventure, and that is trying to read it in the chronological order. Yeah. As a narrative. And so we regularly had a 3-month program, and that took you through the 14 narrative books. And then what we did for the Bible in a year is we took that as the superstructure, and then we placed in all the other books of the Bible exactly where they belong in the narrative and tried to make sense out of it that way, which is really different than trying to go from Genesis to Revelation.
Again, 888-318-7884, if you'd like to talk with Jeff Cavins about the Bible. I will tell you this, when Father Mike was on with us and I asked him, did Jeff Cavins teach you how to say all those names? And he said, well, he didn't teach me, but I learned from listening to him. And then the other day I was driving and I was listening to EWTN, and he was going, I don't even know what book of the Bible he was in, but it was one of those passages where it's like 20 Old Testament names in a row. And I was like, man, he's doing it. He's not flubbing one of these. And
no, he's good.
So, yeah, well, he's good, but he said he learned it all from you.
He said that on EWTN?
Yeah, no, when he was on here with us, he said he learned he said he learned from listening to Jeff Cavins.
He gives me too much credit. No, he's good. He knows it.
Let me ask you this then, because you've, as I said, you really have helped millions of people to read the Bible. Why is it so hard to read the Bible? Why do so many people maybe even make a vow, I'm going to read the Bible, and they just can't do it? It's so hard to understand the Bible.
Yeah. Well, it's the great question, that I get over the years. The Bible Timeline has been out now for, it's been out in Catholic circles for almost 30 years now, 28 years, something like that. And the number one question that I get is, why didn't anybody else do this? And my answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I did it out of desperation, actually. I was only 25 years old, and I was going to the University of Minnesota studying Hebrew. And I wanted to know the whole Bible. I wanted to know the whole thing. And I was sitting there before I went into my class. I was listening to two cassette tapes. I still have those tapes, actually. Two cassette tapes on the history of archaeology. And this professor was going through, in chronological order, all of archaeology. And as I listened to him, I thought, man, I want to do that with the Bible. I want to be able to just walk through the whole Bible. And somebody, you know, plop me down in Jeremiah and I know where I'm at, or First Kings and I know where I'm at. And suddenly I can't explain it. I got this idea, this like vision in my head of a chart and how I could lay it out. And I got so excited. I didn't go to class that day. I went to a arts and crafts store, got a bunch of pens and rulers and things, went to a meat market, got a big piece of white paper, went home to my mother-in-law's house where we were living in the basement. I was a young pastor. And I laid it out, and I got my theology books out, and in 48 hours, I created that chart. And it was only for me. And I had no idea that that would define my adult life. I had no idea.
That is an amazing story, Jeff. So this whole thing that has really helped millions of people, it was you cutting class that made that all possible.
That's the story right there. right next to the drugstore that Bob Dylan lived on top of in the 60s, in a little place at the University of Minnesota called Dinky Town. So never despise small beginnings.
Wow, that is amazing. And so now that you can buy from Ascension Press the Bible itself with all of this work that you've now, of course, it's more than just, it has the chart, but it's more than that. It's almost, I would say, a method of reading the Bible. So you know where you are. That's like, it's almost like it's like a, you are here. Now, when you read this, this is where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the only Bible that I know of, and there might be some out there now, but when we put it together, it was the only Bible that actually taught you how to read it. I mean, literally we have articles in there on how to read the Bible in chronological order, how to interpret, how to do Lectio Divina with Dr. Mary Healy and you know, other wonderful scholars that pitched in to help. But that's the key. That's really what I wanted to do when I first put it together, was I wanted to see visually the entire story. And I always had a dream about really putting this into a Bible itself so that people could navigate. And they always knew where they were, you know, in navigating the Bible. And that really was the goal. That was the goal, to teach people how to read it. And this really hit home a few years ago. I was in California, and it really hit home the need for this. I was speaking at a church. I don't know, there's maybe 1,000 people out there. It's outdoors. It's wonderful people. And I asked them a question. I said, I want to ask you, has anybody in your life ever, a priest, a father, mother, deacon, teacher, CDC, whatever, you know, or DRE, you know, all these initials. Yeah. Has anybody ever taught you, sat you down and taught you how to read the Bible? Raise your hand. And I looked from left all the way to the right. Not one hand went up.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this should not be. This is the basics. This is the basic. How do you read it? So the good news is, and Bible in a Year had a lot to do with it. It's like a revival going on now with Catholics reading the Bible. I went to confession the day before yesterday. I'm standing in line. There's a 25-year-old, 26-year-old young man ahead of me standing there with a worn-out Great Adventure Bible in his hand. And I looked down and I thought, yes.
Yeah. It's so. I have to say, when I hear a story like this, I think of you. Okay, so you're laying it out there on butcher paper, but
right.
God's plans are always so much greater than what we can imagine. There's not even such a thing as a podcast or the internet or anything when you're doing that. Or I mean, I don't know about the internet, but you know. But so this becomes the biggest podcast in the world. The biggest. I want people to hear that the biggest podcast in the world was Bible in a Year. You don't know that when you were laying the butcher paper out. You're just trying to understand the Bible.
No. I, in fact, we never even dreamt of it. And when Father Mike and I put it together, I think we were done. We're going to go that coming January was going to be the launch on Apple. And I think it was October. We were done. And you know how it is in your creative, you're writing books, you're doing this or that. I moved on. You know, it's done. It's in the can. Yeah, we had a good time. And I hope people will listen to it. And then January 1st, I got a call from our producer. And she said, are you sitting down? And I said, yeah, why? She said, you're number one. And honestly, I had no clue what she was talking about. None. I said, no, one what? Well, number one what? She said, podcast. And I know this is humbling. I thought she was talking about my own show. Uh-huh. And I forgot about the Bible in a Year launching. I totally forgot it. She goes, Bible in a Year. I said, seriously? I said, like, number one Catholic podcast? No. Religion? No. She, everything.
Isn't,
everything. And
God,
I said, oh, you got to be kidding. And said, Father did the same thing. We went on Apple and looked, and oh, my gosh, what's happening? And it was obvious by the end of the week, the Holy Spirit was commandeering this.
Amen to that.
Pretty obvious.
Jeff Cavins is our guest. Maybe you've got questions about the Bible. Are you lost in your Bible reading? You need some help? You need a direction sign, some street signs? Give us a call, 888-318-7884.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
EWTN has its own official YouTube channel with tens of thousands of videos covering just about every conceivable topic of interest to Catholics. And best of all, it's free. Every day, EWTN adds new TV shows, live events, devotionals, homilies, and specials to its YouTube channel. Visit the EWTN YouTube channel today. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I love it when we do Bible shows. It's just so wonderful to talk about the Word of God and be able to share about that and help people to read it. But it's especially good to get to do one of those shows with Jeff Cavins, probably done a greater service to helping modern people read the Bible than anybody else. I don't know anybody else that's done a greater service to that. So one line's open if you want to call, but we are going to get to calls right now. They dialed 888-318-7884. Let's start out in Oklahoma. John is in Oklahoma. Go ahead with your question for Jeff Cavins, John.
Well, first off, I got to say my wife is listening on YouTube, and she is grinning ear to ear. She is so fangirling over Jeff Cavins right now. So,
well, that's good.
Hi, wife.
Yeah.
Hi, wife. Jeff says, hi, wife.
Okay, here's my question, Jeff. I know that you came from a Protestant background, so did I. My thing is this. You know, I had the opportunity the other day to speak to a Protestant who's very interested in the Catholic faith. And then we got on to the Eucharistic adoration. What way is a better way to explain that? Because I don't think I did it justice. And, I mean, I swear by Eucharistic adoration every chance I get. But, where in the Bible can we find Eucharistic adoration?
Oh, hey, hang on. We're gonna have to... We're not hearing Jeff. Why do we have?
There you go. Can you hear me now?
Oh yeah, I can hear you now, Jeff. So
I was saying we're having a little problem with my microphone, not your microphone.
Oh, okay. Where do we find Eucharistic adoration in the Bible, Jeff?
Yeah. Well, you know, like a lot of other things, you don't see something that we teach in the exact language that you see in the Bible. For example, abortion. You don't see those exact words in the Bible, but we know we do not procure an abortion. And that comes from an early document, actually, in the church and became part of the church's teaching, which is consistent as the oral tradition, consistent with the written tradition, the Word of God. All throughout, I would start with this. All throughout the Bible, we are commanded to adore the Lord, to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord, to give him honor. There are many different words for praise, for example, to lay prostrate right before the Lord, to kneel, to stand, to raise your hands, to shout, to close your eyes, to sing the instruments, all kinds of words for praise. In the same way, when we praise God today, we are praising, we are adoring, we are worshiping God, but it's because in adoration, because he's truly present in the sacrament, the blessed sacrament. And so God is with you, Emmanuel. God is with you the same as he was 2,000 years ago. So everything that is ascribed to worshiping and praising and adoring God in Scripture would also carry over into a holy hour to praise God. There's been many times where I was completely alone at 2 o'clock in the morning, and that was my hour we signed up at our parish. And normally during the day, I would kneel down and I would adore the Lord and praise, but I was the only one at night. I laid flat on my face and just worshiped the Lord and adored the Lord. Where did I get that? I got that from the Bible. So if we didn't believe that the Blessed Sacrament was God, but merely bread, then all of these ways of praising and worshiping God would be a moot point. We wouldn't be doing that to a piece of bread.
John?
Oh, yes. Yeah, one of the questions he asked me was, well, since Christ lives within us, why do we need to, spend time in front of the Eucharist? And it was kind of hard for me to, because I'm a new Catholic, so it was still kind of hard for me to really explain it and give it justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the Holy Spirit is in us, for sure. I mean, God is in us, and the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God is in us. And at the same time, we can confront Jesus, in terms of adoration. He's not limited by that. It's an interesting thing when you read the Gospels, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, John, before, but when you read the Gospels, the language that is used is to follow Jesus. It's to follow Jesus, exclusively, to follow Jesus. But then after the Gospels, when you come to the book of Acts and the writings of Paul, only one time does it talk about following him. All the other times it talks about walking in him. He is in us. He is in us. But that doesn't limit him from being with us as a community in the real presence. In fact, he gives himself to us in the Mass, in the real presence, even though Christ is dwelling inside of us. But he's feeding us and feeding us and feeding us.
You know what, John? I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave that there because I'm just realizing we got so many people on the line. So thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Virginia, where Travis is listening on the EWTN app. Travis, go ahead with your question.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Si. How you doing today?
Hi, Travis.
Hi, Travis.
Hey, I got a couple questions rolled up into one. So I was wondering if you could elaborate possibly on who King James was in reference to the King James Bible. How did the modern printing press affect how we approach Scripture, and were there any other ways of accessing Scripture before these times in that era?
Yeah, no, good question. Well, the King James Bible, in honor of King James, was written, and it's interesting that the first edition of it actually had the deuterocanonical books, what Protestants today would call the apocryphal books, and we're talking about the seven books that are not a part of a Protestant canon. When it comes to the printing press, I think you bring up a very good point, and the point really gives credence to the authority of the Catholic Church. When we look at the canon of Scripture after Jesus, and the beginning of this new movement, this kingdom of God, this the Nazarenes, the followers of Jesus. Their kingdom is growing and growing and growing. The question is, what do they listen to? Who do they listen to? By whose authority are they going to go forward? I think some people think that there was a canon of scripture almost from the beginning, you know, even the New Testament books, the four Gospels, Acts, Revelation, all of the epistles, and so forth. But there wasn't. There were a lot of letters that were being, you know, floated at the time. But it wasn't until the Council of Hippo and Carthage in 393 and 397 that we came up with the canon of Scripture. And we know that this is the canon of Scripture because the church told us so. And so it's an amazing thing to think that before Gutenberg and before the printing press, that the scriptures were handwritten out by monks in the Middle Ages. We have all of that history behind us and earlier, the writing and transcribing of scripture, but all at the feet of the authority of the church. And when I ask people today, my Protestant brothers and sisters, why do you believe that that Bible you have, which they have 66 books in theirs, why instead of 73 in the one that we use, why do you believe that's the Word of God? And they'll say, well, because it says it is. And I'll say, well, where? Well, it's, Scripture is good for teaching. Yes, it's good for all those things. But where does it say it, that those books are the Word of God? Because the table of contents is not divinely inspired. So where do they get it? And the bottom line is, they don't have an answer. You can't have an answer. It can't be, I feel like it. It sits right with me or anything like that. There's one answer. The bishops of the Catholic Church said so under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And St. Augustine even jumps on this and says, I would not believe that the scriptures were the Word of God had the church not told me so. So when I think about the printing press, I think go all the way back to the early church and how this whole thing was held together.
Travis, thank you very much. There's a couple lines open now, 888-318-7884. If you want to talk with Jeff Cavins about the Bible, your question is welcome. Tom in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio is next. Tom, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Jeff.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is about Cain, Genesis, when he was cast out, and he met his wife, who's not named, and then a city was formed. So is this pointing to like pre-Adamite peoples that were involved at that time, or?
Yeah, who are all these people?
You have Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve have Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel. They have a third son by the name of Seth. So you have the Cain line, and you have the Sethite line. It's kind of the good guys and the bad guys, right? You have these two different lines. Now, the Bible from those early chapters follows the Sethite line. And that line goes, of course, all the way to Jesus. And you can read about that in the genealogies in Matthew and then parts of it in Luke. You might be talking about after Cain and Abel. You have a whole nother group of people at that time, and they are the Nephilim. They're called the Nephilim, and the Nephilim are really representative. Some people think they were like spirits or fallen angels or something, but some of those ideas come from a Bible called the Dake Bible, a Protestant Bible. There's really not any language proof of that. But what's interesting is the Nephilim, these people, talk about the sons of God, the daughters of men, the two different groups coming together, and they are intermingling, and they're the Nephilim. Now, what's interesting is the word Nephilim comes from the word Nephal in Hebrew, which means the fallen ones. Oddly enough, it's an accident that they are the same in English, Nephal. The fallen ones, when the line of Cain and the line of Seth come together. That's the easiest interpretation. That's what the Bible says, and it makes sense in terms of the entire narrative. You've got this breakoff group. And they're not pre-Adamite people.
Does that make sense to you, Tom?
Yes, thank you very much, okay?
Okay, all right.
You bet, Tom.
Very good, Tom. Thank you very much. 888-318-7884 is our number. Jeff Cavins is our guest. The Great Adventure Bible, the Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz, and so many other things Jeff has done have brought just millions of people to read the Bible. But I would say, in addition to reading the Bible, read the Bible in a way that is truly profitable to them, because they know what they're reading. Somebody said, "How will I know unless somebody explains it to me?" And that's a great deal. I'm a guy from Ethiopia, but if you're one of those people who says, "How can I understand this? What I'm reading, if no one explains it to me?" All those Great Adventure Bible materials will be extremely helpful to you. Here at Catholic Answers, I can't even tell you how many times we have recommended the Great Adventure Bible, all the materials that go with the Great Adventure Bible, and Bible in a Year. So we've got Jeff Cavins himself here with us, and we've got a few lines open. We'll get to the calls that are on the line as soon as we get back. And if you want to get into that queue, pick up the phone and call 888-318-7884. Have you ever wondered about the mysterious, even obscure aspects of the Catholic faith? Dive into the Jimmy Akin podcast, where Jimmy brings together information from many fields as he pushes the boundaries of apologetics. Tune in today to the Jimmy Akin podcast, Mysteries of the Faith, a highly entertaining, informative, and at times humorous show that will help you grow in your faith. Visit JimmyAkinPodcast.com today to subscribe.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What was the church like in its infancy? In a word, Catholic. And Joe Heschmeyer has the receipts. In his best-selling book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, he gives you the details from the historical records of the first two centuries of Christianity. Right now, get a copy for just $10, plus free shipping if you live in the continental United States. Get more information and order The Early Church Was the Catholic Church at theearlychurchwascatholic.com.
What is the Catholic Church? Everyone seems to have an opinion, but the church never quite fits into the boxes people make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. When you think of the great lay apostolates we have been blessed with here in the United States over the recent decades, Ascension Press is one of the great apostolates in this country, serving the whole world. And Jeff Cavins is our guest, The Great Adventure Bible, The Great Adventure Bible Timeline. But you've got some new stuff there, and I want to ask you about that before we go back. And I am going to go back to the calls. Don't hang up on me, callers, but I got to ask Jeff about this. What is this new 24-week Great Adventure Timeline that you've got?
Yeah, it kind of snuck up on us there. We've been working on it for quite a while. Those that are familiar with the 24-week Bible timeline, the Great Adventure that I teach, it's 24 one-hour talks through the entire Bible. We have had two iterations of that in the past. We just finished the third, and there's nothing like it. It's been in about 4 years in process. I actually landed in Israel on October 7th, 2 years ago, to finish the Israel part of the video for the new Great Adventure. And I had to stay in a bomb shelter for 2 days, and then I had to get out of there. And so it wasn't until a year later that I was able to go over and finish the Israel leg of the filming. We went to Egypt, we went to Greece and Rome and Turkey and in Israel. And what we did is we reshot the entire Great Adventure with great graphics, and I'm teaching in a studio for part of the time. And then the rest of the time, I'm there. You ever talk about Mount Sinai? I'm climbing Mount Sinai, teaching, standing at the top with the Word of God, and whoa, it's really exciting. Yeah, it just came out, and people can get information at ascensionpress.com /timeline, I think it is, but you can find it there. And we're really excited about it, and I brought in a number of really good teachers who are joining me and doing some of the teaching in it, like Dr. Ted Sree and others. So wow, we're really excited about it.
Is this something a family could do together? You could watch it.
Because kids love to see things, you know.
Yeah.
So is that really Mount Sinai? Is he on a camel?
Yeah, check it out at Ascension Press. But then there's other news at Ascension Press, and that is the Liturgy of the Hours news. So tell me about that, Jeff.
You're right. Yeah, thank you. It's big news. It came out yesterday. If you're familiar with the Liturgy of the Hours, the four books that the priests pray with typically, and many laity pray the Liturgy of the Hours these days, well, there's been a new translation, and there hasn't been one in over 50 years, a new translation. It's coming out, and the bishops, USCCB, have given the rights to two publishers, and one is Ascension, to publish the new Liturgy of the Hours. And you know what they did with the Bible, you know what they did with the Catechism. This is going to be a game changer for a whole generation in getting them into prayer. It's going to be a game changer.
Oh man. So and when does that come out? They've got permission now, but they—
Yeah, there's not a date. Okay. I don't have a date, at least they might, but I don't have a complete date on that. The news just came out, and I'm like, wow.
That's big news.
As Dylan said, the times, they are a-changing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if you ever want to see adults terrified by ribbons, watch lay people try to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. It's the most, like,
ribbons. Sister John Dominic?
No, I don't think I know Sister John Dominic.
Okay, she's over at the Ann Arbor Dominicans.
Okay.
With Mother Assumpta over there. And when I first came back into the church, I got the Liturgy of the Hours. I didn't know head from tails. I didn't know how to do this at all. She had to sit down and do the ribbon shuffle with me and try to teach me how to use it. So you're exactly right.
Yeah. If you ever want to see adults scared of ribbons, just watch lay Catholics trying to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. Patrick is in Dallas, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Patrick, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Jeff Cavins.
Hey, gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome, Patrick.
All right. So I started a journey reading the Bible one chapter a day, and when I finished that the first time through, I called in the Catholic Answers to ask what to do next, and Cy made the very poignant comment that I could just start over and do it again, and so I did, and I'm coming up to my second time through, and I'm kind of wondering, you know, what to do next. You know, part of me wants to start over, but I'm not sure. I want to make it better, deeper, more meaningful.
Okay, sure. Jeff?
Yeah, you know, some people are listening, some people are watching, but I do have a chart here, the Bible timeline chart. What I would recommend, and Cy was right in that, yeah, go do it again, soak yourself in Scripture. What I would recommend is that the third time around, you get more familiar with the structure, and not the structure of the Bible so much as the structure of the story from the Genesis all the way to Revelation. You see, Patrick, the Bible is filled with hundreds and hundreds of stories, but there is one story, and it's not in chronological order. So if you read from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you're going to get all the stories, but you're not going to get the story. In fact, I don't know if anybody can, because it's so big, so deep, so comprehensive. so many characters, so many places, right, and foreign words. So what I would suggest is this, and this is the chart right here. If you're listening just in the audio, you have to use your imagination. But what we did is we divided the Bible up front and back into 12 periods, color-coded periods. And that's from creation all the way to Genesis. That's 12 periods. Then what we did is we took the 73 books of the Catholic Bible and chose the narrative books. That those are the books that actually keep the story moving all along. And there's 14 of them. And those 14 books is what I would encourage you to read, in that they're listed in the Great Adventure Bible. They're on the chart here. But those 14 books, real quickly, if someone's listening to, and not watching, we've got Genesis, we have Exodus, we have Numbers, Joshua, Judges, we have 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah, 1st Maccabees, Luke, and Acts. Those are the 14. If you read them, you kind of get the story. Now you have to put the other 59 in the proper place. That's where the chart comes in. So my answer, long-winded answer, is I would go at it another time, but I would pay attention to the story this time and focus on those 14 books.
What do you think, Patrick?
Yeah, I really like that, because I feel like through this second time, that's kind of what I've been thinking about the whole time. Because the first time through, there's a lot of shock and awe that goes off. But the second time, I was thinking, when does this happen? Reading once I get to the prophets, I'm like, when is this in Kings? And when is this in, Ezra, Nehemiah? When does this happen in relation to those things? When is Ezekiel? Like, narratively, how does this work, and historically?
Yeah. And a little tip there, if you do get a Great Adventure Bible, it comes in a beautiful blue, and then I have the leather, goat leather, the brown one, which I call the goat, but but it's the goat leather, and it has the tabs and the colors right at the edge of every single page in the Bible, so you know what period you're in. You can just go through it. You can even splay the sides of it if you're watching on the video, and you can see the colors. And you're not going to get lost. And that's why we created it. We didn't want you to get lost. It's like a roadmap of salvation history.
Patrick, how gratifying it is to talk with someone who has decided to, as Jeff said, soak yourself in the Word of God. What a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, what I'd like to do is just turn you over to Edgar, and you tell him any book that we've got in the Catholic Answers catalog. Maybe you want Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, but any book that you want that's in our catalog, we'll send it to you. Just to celebrate, you've been through two times around and getting ready to go on your third time around. Praise God for that, Patrick. We will take a break. Look, if you're on the line, I can promise you right now, we're going to get you on on with Jeff Cavins, and we'll get an answer to your question. If you're not on the line, we could probably get you on as well, 888-318-7884.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. I invite you to listen to Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. On Catechism in a Year, you'll encounter God's plan of sheer goodness for us. Throughout the year, we read through the Catechism of the Catholic Church with direct quotes, plus time for explanations and reflections. I hope you can join us every day or as often as you can.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I didn't realize I'm kind of bold in the advice that I give people. I mean, he says, I read the Bible. We'll read it again. I mean, easy for you to say. Like I should take my own advice. I should just be make it a constant cycle of starting and finishing. I'm glad to hear that Patrick's not mad at me. That it has been profitable to him. Jeff Cavins is our guest. You know him from the Great Adventure Bible and all the work he has done at Ascension Press, and from the Bible in a Year, which, praise God, was the most popular podcast in the world. And I say was, but like people will be doing that, spending their year with Father Mike Schmitz, like my wife is right now, for the rest of the time, probably. And that, just think about that. People working their way through the Bible in a year. So it's a great service they have done. It's a great service Jeff has been the engine behind. And if you want to talk to him about the Bible, 888-318-7884. Let's go to John in Pennsylvania. And it says he's listening on the Holy Spirit. Good for you, John. I hope that's Holy Spirit radio, but you are an angel if you're just listening directly on the Holy Spirit.
No, it's the Holy Spirit radio.
Okay, all right. No one included that last word. But glad to have you, John. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. I have read the New Testament many times, especially the Psalms and Isaiah and Job and other books in the Old Testament. But I just can't get past Numbers this time in the Old Testament. I'm stuck. And it took me forever to get through Exodus and part of Deuteronomy. I'm just stuck. What do I do?
Sure. You get unstuck. I would have to ask you, what is it about the book of Numbers that has caused you to be stuck? What would you say?
I say it's boring. It's, you know, this, how many tribes here, this and that, that so many of these guys are involved in sacrifice, so many of these guys are involved in this and that, and I'm like,
sure.
Please, you're driving me crazy.
Okay, well, I can give you some advice for that, because when you understand the context of it, it's not boring at all, really. But I think it can be boring if you don't understand the context, which is a reminder about teaching our children how to read the Bible, because if they don't know how to read the Bible, then some of the books can certainly seem quite boring, right, and dry. Now, Numbers, in the Old Testament, we have Genesis, which is the creation, and in Genesis, we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Then we have Exodus, and that's Moses bringing the people out of bondage. They go down to Mount Sinai. They stay there for a year, okay? Then they break camp to go up into the Promised Land. That's what Numbers is. Numbers is from the camp that they've been at for a year, and they break camp to go up into the Promised Land, but they don't trust God. So God says, fine, you don't trust me? Then you're going to wander around in this desert for a year for every day that you were spying out the land. And they were up there for 40 days. And that's what Numbers is all about. Now it's got context, and now you can see their voyage, you can see their journey, and it's really remarkable. And in fact, in Hebrew, the book is called Bamidbar, and that means in the wilderness. Have you ever gone into the wilderness yourself? Have you ever had this wandering aimlessly in your own life? Then you're going to like this book once you understand the context.
Okay.
Yep. Context.
I don't know if you sound convinced, John. Are you intimidated by Numbers?
I just have to push myself through it. I just have to stop saying, you know, I can read something else that's much more interesting. Push through the darn thing.
Yeah. Well, when you read it, think about the children of Israel leaving Mount Sinai. They've been there a year, and now they're going to go up to the Promised Land, the land flowing with milk and honey. The journey is the story. The battles, the things they have to overcome, the temptations, the ups and downs, that's life. That's life. And read it like that. I think you might see it a little differently. I really do.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Cy, I have to tell you something.
Yes.
Real quick. John, are you still with us? That's
yes,
okay if you're not.
Yeah,
okay.
He's here.
Oh, you are. John, you're listening to Catholic Answers right now. Do you know what? It was 30 years ago this year that I went to San Diego after reading this book from Catholic Answers, and I went there and spent 2 days with everyone at Catholic Answers because I had all kinds of questions. I stayed with Jimmy Akin, Father Rylan, Pat Madrid was just leaving at that time, and your founder was very gracious. And those two or three days for me made such a big difference in my coming back to the Catholic Church. So kudos to Catholic Answers. I owe you guys.
Oh, Jeff, thank you very, very much. John, you can do it. You can make it. You
okay.
can get through.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, brother. What a beautiful story. And one of the things, Jimmy Akin is a very charitable person and really does want to be helpful to people. It's wonderful to hear.
He even said you can stay in my apartment. You know, we'll just stay up and talk about scripture. You know,
how great.
And everybody was generous. And you know what? More than anything, Cy, is that, and I think Catholic Answers does this for people, is that it reminded me I wasn't alone. And that my questions were questions others were asking too.
Yeah. Yep. That's well, we all found that out when your podcast became the most popular in the world. There's a community of people that needs each other. And it's hungry. We need each other. So thank you. Thank you very much, Jeff, for those very kind words. Eric is in Iowa. I just got back from Iowa, Eric, listening on 105.5 FM. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you. I have two questions. One question is, I was wondering about the Great Adventure Bible. What translation do you use? And will you, I know there's other translations like the ESV. Are you going to ever adopt any of those other ones or have multiple versions with the different translations? And the other question I have is, can you explain more about those extra books that the Protestants say there's extra, the Catholic Bible has extra books, and Catholics say that their books are all the books. So can you explain more
sure.
in detail the history, and Protestants say this, Catholics say this, I don't know who to believe.
Catholics.
Yeah. and your first question again there, your first question was
okay.
sort of bleeped out.
The Great Adventure Bible, what translation is that?
Oh, yeah.
Have
oh, yeah.
you ever used any other translations?
No, good. That's a good question. It really is. And it's a question you should ask. You should, because the translation does matter. First, I would say this. Of all Bibles out there in the world today, you have a spectrum. You have a translation. A translation goes to the original texts, not the original, but the early translations, and it tries to find a word-for-word translation. On the other end of the spectrum, you have a thought-for-thought, and that can be a paraphrase, like the Old Living Bible, right? In the middle, you have what's called a dynamic equivalent, and that tries to be word-for-word, thought-for-thought, as much as possible. Now, the Bible that we're using, the translation is the RSV Catholic Edition, Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition. Ignatius Press is known for this. And that's a translation. And it's the RSV that has some modifications to make sure that it's true with the Catholic teaching. The King James is a translation. The ESV is a translation, English Standard Version. And there's others. So we use that. Now, the New American Bible is also a translation. That's used in the liturgy in the United States here. Those are the two big ones. Are we open to using other ones or the ESV? We're certainly open in the future. We have to see what happens. And I know that there's a couple of other translations that are being developed at the moment by really competent people. So translations evolve over time. They have in Protestant circles. They have in Catholic circles. And that's why we have the leadership of the church guiding and directing us. Now, your other question about the size of the Bible, 73 books in a Catholic Bible, 66 in a Protestant. The question, did Catholics add 7 books or did Protestants take away 7 books? Neither happened. What happened was that the early church used a canon of the Old Testament that was commonly used called the Septuagint. The Septuagint had those other seven books in it. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It was done in Alexandria, down in Egypt. And they had 70 men come together, they translated, they agreed, and boom, it's kind of like a modern day miracle, right? And so they have the Septuagint. That's what the early church used for a long, long time. Well, when the Reformation came, the Septuagint was rejected, and another canon out of Israel for the Jewish people was taken instead of it, and it did not have those seven books in it. That's where the change takes place. And so the argument isn't did Protestants add or subtract, did we add? There's two different canons. One is the one we've been using all along, the early church, Paul, Peter, everybody, and the Protestant Bible chose not to use that. That's the answer to that.
Okay, Eric?
Can I ask one more question? So
please.
From the beginning, then those extra books were in the original Bible, the Greek Bible that you mentioned. They were all there at
right.
the beginning, and then the Protestants removed them at the Reformation. Is that right?
No, they didn't remove them. They chose to go with another canon that was established. There were two canons. There was the Septuagint, and then there was another one, and they went back to that instead of continuing on in the tradition since the beginning of the church.
I'll tell you what, Eric.
It's a nuance on language there.
If you'd like one of our books, I'll send you Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, if you like, by Gary Matuta. You're welcome to have it. All you got to do is stay on the line and give us an address. We'll send it off to you there in Iowa. I have a question I'd like to ask you, Jeff, about the Bible. And I am concerned that this might be a dumb question, but I actually don't know the answer to this. And since I have you, I'm going to ask it. God repeats himself in the Bible. Like, if you read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and then you read Chronicles, you're going to repeat some stuff. And is there a theological reason why God repeats? I mean, I'm not even getting into the Gospels, but why why are we going over material we already went over in some parts of the Bible?
Yeah. That is a phenomenal question, and I'm surprised that more people don't ask it because it's in the back of their mind. They read 1 and 2 Samuel, they read 1 and 2 Kings, then they get to Chronicles and they think, wait a minute, I'm having deja vu all over again, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're right. Excuse me. You're right. And here's the deal. The narrative goes like this. You've got 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. You've got 1 Kings. You have 2 Kings. Now, what happens from 1 Samuel to 2 Kings is you have them asking for a king in 1 Samuel chapter 8. They get a king, Saul. Then they get David. Then they get Solomon. And then, excuse me.
You're choked up over my question. I can't believe it.
I'm so choked up.
I find it very touching.
About the Bible. So then after Solomon, they have Rehoboam, and the kingdom divides into
okay.
two nations.
Yes.
North Israel, South Judah. Okay? You with me so far?
Yeah.
Right there? So then you have kings following the north and the south, north, south, north, south, north, south. You gotta be careful. Are you talking about the north? You're talking about the south. Then you get into Chronicles. Now the Chronicles, you choke me up every time. The Chronicles, get this, are following the southern kingdom of David.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And so they're not following the events of the north. They're following the events of the south with David, and they tend to be favorable to David and his conquests and so forth. That's why you get the deja vu.
Ah, I see. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, that very,
it's a
very
great
much.
Question.
Okay, I'm glad it. Well, I'm glad you didn't just go, that is the dumbest Bible question I have ever heard. Because you do have that feeling. You're reading and you're like, I know we've been over this. I know we've been over this. But it's to give the Davidic perspective, so to speak. It's to say.
Yeah, it's a Chronicles of the King. What king? Davidic kingdom.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And is that related to the person of Jesus Christ? That is, we want to have that in a certain...
He's the son of David.
Yeah, to have a baseline set so that we're preparing for the Messiah.
Isn't that exciting when you figure it out? It's just like, wow, this is like a puzzle. It's really great.
Jeff Cavins has been our guest. They've got a new 24-week Great Adventure timeline. Look, if for no other reason, he spent 2 days in an underground bunker for this thing, okay? So get it. Go over to Ascension Press and get it. Before long, Ascension Press will have the Liturgy of the Hours out, and they'll do their magic that they do with so many of these early documents, scriptural documents. Jeff Cavins, it's been a delight. It always is. Thank you so much for taking the time.
You too.
That will do it for us. Who we got on tomorrow? I don't even remember. We have Tim Staples? Well, Tim will be here. All right. We'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.